So Ephesians 3, and we're just going to read from verse 14 to 21. So Paul writes, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its inspiration. We thank you for its human hands that wrote it. I pray that you would help us as we wrestle, as we understand, as we learn together something of your truth, your grace, and your generosity. Amen. Now, we all know that the book of Ephesians was written to the saints in Ephesus, don't we? It says it in the first verse, to the church in Ephesus. So we have an idea of where it's going to. However, if we understand and wrestle a little bit scripture, we've got hundreds of letters that say that at the beginning. It was wildly understood that it was to the church in Ephesus. However, there was two or three letters where there was a blank. Interesting, isn't it? There was no Ephesus. It just said to the saints in blank. And now you kind of think, well, there's hundreds that say Ephesus and there's two that say have a blank. And however, the two that said a blank had quite a bit of substance about them. There was quite a bit of authority in them. There was some respect to their authenticity or their original nature. So there's a lot of thinking to think, actually, it could be a generic letter, which is interesting, because it doesn't, of all Paul's letters, it isn't one that speaks about church conflicts. It doesn't speak about people falling out. It's a general letter. So the idea that it might not have been to the church in Ephesus, it might have been a letter that was left blank and someone filled in the letter and we sent them to lots of different churches as an encouragement and as a way of spurring people on. I don't know if that does your faith any good or not. But scripture is complicated, and we might say, well, we've got it all written here, but actually there's a lot of wrestling to do with scripture. I don't think it affects my faith. I think I understand that actually scripture is dynamic. Paul wrote different letters to different churches, so I have no problem in my mind, but I appreciate some of us will be challenged by those things. So whether it's to the church in Ephesus or whether it's a general letter that's gone out to many churches and Paul and others filled in the blanks, it speaks of and wrestles with the identity of Christ and the role that the Spirit plays within it. It speaks of the church being a hope to this world. Now, as we understand it, as we read these verses today, we can appreciate that in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel knew who they were. They knew their identity as a people of God. It was ingrained in them. We spoke a little bit about understanding the Old Testament last week. They knew who they were because of the law. They knew who they were because they went to the temple. There are two things that held them together. They were God's people because they stuck to the law and they worshipped in God's place. I'd like to suggest we know who we are today, or we can know who we are today, not be through the law and the temple, but through the power of the Spirit. Knowing who we are comes from understanding and experiencing the power of the Spirit. Knowing who God is, we can comprehend today through the power of the Spirit. We can see this God in Scripture and in our understanding as not being a stingy God. I don't think you read Scripture and think that God is stingy, rather totally the opposite. our endeavors to understand who we are comes when we start to grasp some things of God's nature and his riches, and we can only understand that when we allow the Spirit to speak to us. So looking at verse 16, we're going to focus on 16 and 17 to start with. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with a power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What does an inner being look like? What does your inner being look like? I know what your outer being look like. I can see it all lovely this morning and smiley and happy and looking back at me. But what does your inner being look like? Well, the word and translated inner being is esos, and it can mean the thing within us, our soul, our conscience, something of who we are. How, in what state is your inner man or inner woman this morning? We're great at putting on the show, aren't we? And many can do it very well. We show the outside world what we want to present with a smile and pretending everything's okay. But get close enough to people, maybe in your home group or a life group, and it doesn't take long for you to see beyond the outer and to the inner. The outer show, what we put on to the world, is not important to God. He couldn't care less, I don't think, what we want to present to the world. It's the inside that he cares about. That's why Jesus had so much issue with those in power, because he saw that it wasn't about their heart, it was about what they did. You might have got used to going to the doctors for a health check. What about a soul check? How's your soul this morning? How do we check on something like that? If you go to the doctors, there's rule, they kind of do tests and they can see how your body's doing. How do we check our souls, our inner beings? Well, I guess it starts with us understanding who our inner being is. Richard Rohr, I've read a fair bit about, would call it our true self. Understanding our true self, who we were to be created. Can we find that true self within us? That's powered by the Spirit, not by our egos or our desires. When everything is stripped away, when ego, when job, when appearance, when fears, when doubts are stripped away, who are we? Who are we when those things are taken away from us? Now, this isn't simple stuff. It's deep end stuff. It requires us to be honest with ourselves and acknowledge our ability to pretend.